What is up, crew? TGIF. Welcome to Firearm Friday. Little change of plans tonight, unfortunately. Been back and forth trying to get Allegiance ammo figured out and on here and tested and all that good stuff. And I don't know. There's been communication issues and cell phone connection issues, apparently. Not sure what all is going on. So hopefully we'll get the kinks worked out with that and get them on hopefully sometime in the near future. Unfortunately, we stay booked out usually a little over a month on this show. So, but we'll do what we can to get them back. Really wanted to talk to them, the ammo out there that they've got the, the frangible, you know, subsonic. I mean, amazing stuff, you know, 110 grain or something in a 5.56, just crazy subsonic ammo. I'm going to throw the link out there for them just so that if you want to, you can kind of go check that out. Let me get the chat up over on the Gun Channel side and got that in there now. So speaking of that Gun Channel side, want to throw the link from there over on the YouTube to let you know that Gun Channel is a pretty cool place to hang out. A lot of shows going on, a lot of conversation, all that good stuff. So go check all of that out. We had, I believe it was Seven Wonders out there, was asking about some different live chats the other night. And if you go over to Gun Channel, there's a live show schedule of the ones, at least the folks that are signed up over there that do shows. It's right there at the top of the page on the right. When you log in, you click on that, it gives you the show schedule, and you're good to go. Speaking of the Gun Channel side, a couple of things real quick is shout out for those that are out there on that side listening. Looks like G-Webs over there and Clay and Dead Horse and Pete in the house. Better known as Guitar Man, of course. And as far as the chat goes on that Gun Channel side, use the chat box, the little chat rooms box that's going to be in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, the one that's under the actual embedded video stream. It gets wonky every now and then. So use the one, the chat login, the chat rooms in the bottom right-hand corner. You should be fine if you do that. As far as the YouTube side over here, we're jumping pretty heavy. I think that unknown user out there, according to my chat anyway, was first. Patriot in the Dark in the house out there. Calaveras is out there with us. Andrew, Ozzy, who else we got out there? Got to scroll down because they were kind of here early. Mr. Buck Stanley in the house as well. Guitar Man Pete also on this side of things. Patrick Pew Pew is out there. I see Seven Wonders in the house. Georgia Truckers out there. That guy's wife is out there as well. Double G, Gorillas and Guns popping in. Yeah, so hopefully the notifications will get out and we'll be able to get that we'll get you shouted out as you come in. So instead of having Allegiance Ammunition on, we have shifted some things around. It's been a month since we've done an Ask the Panel Anything, which is always fun. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do Ask the Panel Anything number 4. So put those questions out there in the chat, Gun Channel side or YouTube side. We'll run them through the room, whatever we need to get done to get those questions answered. Let's run through the room. Speaking of the room, we've got a pretty decent panel, but a few looks like jumped out or fell out for some reason there, kind of at the last minute. Budget and Gizzard for whatever reason. But we've got Snob in the house. What's up, Snob?
Just cruising down the road. Thanks for having me.
You bet, buddy. Anytime. We've got Mr. Rich. How are you?
Doing all right. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Budget is with us for at least for a short time, I guess, here. How are you?
Oh, not too shabby. Yeah, I'm on my way to work here, so when I get there, I'm going to have to hop off.
Absolutely. That's understandable. Unfortunately, some people do have to work. All right. G-Web's popping in. How are you, G?
Good. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. Giz, what's up, man?
Hey, not a whole lot. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. And Ghost, what's happening?
Did you get the email from my agent that specifically told you the questions that I will not answer?
Did not receive that, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. yeah, he did. He did send me a list, but it didn't say that you would not answer them. It said I had to ask those. So.
Oh, he sent the wrong list.
It was pretty controversial too. So buckle up.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Is your agent by any chance wearing a chicken mask?
From time to time, yes.
Lord.
Crazy. First question, what's it like being a YouTuber on a rocket ship course to the top?
There you go.
I wouldn't know the answer to that. I'm going to have to ask somebody else that question.
What's
YouTube?
Yeah, I don't think that applies to anybody here, unfortunately.
I can turn it back on G and say, what was it like being on top?
Oh, it's pretty good.
All right. Yeah, he's the big fish in the pond. So, got to watch out. Let's see. What do we got out there? So, Seven Wonders. He says, thanks for sending the notifications early. Really don't like being late. I did not send any notifications.
He gave a 30-minute, I bet.
So I'm guessing that was the normal, 30-minute one you got. So you can thank YouTube, I guess, for actually working on that, which doesn't happen very often. Now, I've got a question. I mean, that'll kind of get us rolling. And this there was some debate in Yankees chat last night, I think it was, about best stock trigger on a handgun. So let's run that one through as far as our experience and see what everybody has to say. Ghost, I'll kick it off on your end.
For the most part, I actually am one of those guys that for the most part will not change triggers out. I kind of just like the stock, but I have to say my newest experience was unbelievable. I mean, that Walther trigger is the best I've ever shot out of the box, for sure.
Better than the BP mine was?
Yeah. I mean, it's the best out-of-the-box trigger I've ever fired, period.
Wow. Interesting. Gizzard, what about you?
Well, it'd be a toss-up between my 1911, because they've got a pretty easy trigger. And believe it or not, my Glock 42 that I carry, I actually love the trigger on that thing. Right. A lot of people hate Glock triggers, but I like it.
Yeah, Glock triggers tend to be, especially if they're not polished up, they're not bad triggers. They don't have They don't have a lot of creep. They don't have a lot of over travel. Fairly short reset. They're just kind of, they tend to be gritty feeling to me. More than anything, I think, on a Glock trigger. Now, on the 1911, what 1911 do you have?
It's a Taurus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's a decent trigger on the couple of Taurus that I have, too. So, yeah. G-Webs, what's your opinion on that?
Well, what was the question then?
Best stock trigger on a pistol.
Probably, well, can I say LCR, even though it's not technically a pistol?
Yeah, I suppose.
Sure. So, you know, the normal two stage on a J frame is tough. And the LCR, one of the reasons I liked it is it's like having a modified trigger on you know, taking a standard trigger and making it easier to deal with on a revolver. But triggers are like tires, right? Like when they're selling a pickup truck to you, they don't know if you're going to use it off-road or if you're going to use it for the highway trolling a trailer or if they're going to use it in the summer or the winter. So they put a general tire on there. I think it's guns the same way. They don't know what you're doing with that gun, so they put sort of a general trigger on there that's a jack of all trades, master of none. And then if you're doing something specific, then you might tweak your trigger to do, you know, something that you're trying to do with it better. Competition or long range or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's a valid point, I suppose. Budget.
My experience, best trigger I've ever felt would be the my Star BM. They, when they made that one, they made it right. That's all I can say. You know, it. I've shot Colt 1911s. I've shot. My brother has a Kimber Custom 1911, and this trigger's better than both of them.
Cool. Who's next on the list? Oh, Rich is up next. What say you, Rich?
Probably my grandfather's old Smith & Wesson Model 27. That the double action on that thing, it was like breaking glass when you pulled the trigger, and the single action was even smoother on it.
Sweet. Yeah. There, you know, I don't know. I mean, is it cheating in a way if you're talking single action like that? If you're talking about, you know, well, if you're talking about hammer fire versus striker fire, I guess.
The double action was good. That's what I said. That's why I said both of them. The double action was good. The single action was better. I mean, but.
Yeah, right.
No, because I think there's definitely, you know, like Heritage versus Smith Performance Center. Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They're both single action, but they're going to be much nicer when you put some effort.
Right. In. Yeah, comparatively. Yeah, sure. Snob, what do you think?
Best out of the box trigger I've ever bought was probably my Kimber Ultra Carry.
Okay.
I really like it.
Very nice. I don't know. For me, I have not shot this Walther yet. I can tell you with the few times I've pulled it just dry fire, it seems pretty nice. But of course, you can't really check the brake or the reset that way until I actually get some rounds to it. So it's going to be interesting to see. But outside of that, you know, I think the VP9, and the only time I've ever shot a VP9 was SHOT Show at the range day. And it was, I would have to say, that's probably the best one. If you're talking about striker fire, but also shot the 686 Performance Center stuff. So, yeah, those are wicked sweet as well. If you're talking,
the VP9 was unbelievable. It really was. But you'll be surprised with this Walther. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder about the one Mike picked up, that Q5. If you like the trigger on that one, you know, because you've got the carry version basically, right?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Kind of makes me wonder. He got that Q5 match. It's like, good Lord, what kind of triggers on that one if the carry gun's that nice?
He does have an upgraded trigger over, but you know, it's still considered stock because that's the stock for that gun.
Right.
But it is an upgraded trigger over the trigger of that mine has, I believe.
Right. And we got several ones out there. Let's see what Seven Wonders he's talking about. He said he likes his Walther PPF's M2 trigger, but his Sig Legion is better. So, and I don't know, don't see a whole lot of stuff out there. Enrique, he says that his G43 has pretty nice trigger on it. So, yeah, that would be sort of consistent with the what Gizzard was saying, in my experience too, with the 42. Of course, I've polished mine and got some upgrade work on it. Bullseye out there says the 1911 trigger is the best all caps stock, in his opinion. So a lot of work you can do to the 1911 trigger. That's one of the cool things about, I guess, about that 1911 design. Yeah, you can polish and fit and make things really nice. Warsaw says best he ever felt was on a CZ-75B. So got quite a few answers out there. That question sort of always varies. Now, unknown user out there, he says best minimalist design 9mm carbine. He says think Kel-Tec sub 2000, but with better quality, better reliability and reputation. Any recommendations? Snob, start on your end.
The only 9mm carbine I believe I have any experience with is the High Point, and it's not bad, but nothing special.
Right. Yeah, it's, and I wouldn't consider that. I don't think I would consider that minimalist.
No, not minimalist at all.
Right. Scotsman jumped in. What's up, Scotsman?
Hey, appreciate the link. I didn't get notified. I even got the link. I just happened to look at my email, so I appreciate it, brother. Good to be here.
Right. There you go. You want to jump in on this one? He's asking about a minimalist 9mm carbine. Any thoughts on that?
I threw it out in the side chat for him too, but the Ruger PC9 carbine, mm-hmm. It's basically like the Ruger 10/22 takedown. Right. So it breaks apart, and it's compatible with both Glock mags and Ruger mags.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking about that now. That's one that doesn't initially come to mind. I guess I'm not used to it being out there yet.
Yeah, you know, it's under $500, so it's a good price point too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
If he's open to a braced pistol, he might want to try the XTAR EP9. That's a pretty good one too. It's Glock mag compatible, really light, like $420. That's something you might want to think about.
All right. Rich.
In addition to what Dave said, maybe look into possibly building his own AR pistol as well.
Right. Yeah, because you could streamline that, just a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I've never had any issues with my Kel-Tec. I've got the first gen Kel-Tec, and the sights are not the greatest. But outside of that, I haven't really had any issues. G, thoughts on a minimalist 9mm carbine?
Well, I guess this is a free country, so it's legal to buy these things. But that sounds like the kind of question a psychiatrist would ask, because if the only real right answer to this is there is no right answer, there's
right
no for a 9mm carbine.
Exactly. So, yeah, you're right. It was a test. Everybody failed so far, I guess. Gizzard, let you jump in here.
Sorry about that. The only experience I have with carbines is my High Point 995. I don't know if you call that a high quality or not. I mean, I've had real good luck with it.
Right. So,
I don't have any experience with anything else.
And, I've got the 995 before they, did they change the model on those? Anybody know if they changed the model on that when they went with the funky looking stock with the rails and stuff on it?
Mine's a 995 TS.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All they did was add TS to it.
Okay.
Gotcha. Tactical stock, I believe. Tactical,
yeah, because a 10mm is a 1095. So, I mean, they're keeping in line with the 95. And right. They're just adding the TS.
Just added the TS. Okay. So I've got the original 995 with the, what am I thinking? The Beretta style stock on it. And it was a little more minimalist, I guess. With the factory stock on it, than it is, I think, with that Beretta stock. But Ghost, let you jump in here. What do you think?
I mean, I think everyone knows as far as the carbines go, I'm a big fan of High Point. And you're talking about a $250 9mm carbine, and you know, that Ruger is nice. I shot it about a month ago. A buddy of mine had it at the range, and that Ruger is really sweet too. So I like that. And I've got the Beretta CX4 Storm, but I don't think anyone would consider that a minimalist, I guess. But I don't know. They might. But no, the High Point and the Ruger, I have both experience with those, and they're very, very good.
Yeah, I would say the Beretta is a minimalist, but the problem with the Beretta is it's like $650.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is I think it's a minimalist carbine, but the price may not be, you know.
Yeah, the price is up there. Under $500, yeah. Definitely the Ruger, and as much as I dislike High Point, the High Point carbines seem to be pretty reliable.
Mm-hmm. And if people are forgetting about which could be one of the best 9mm carbine out there, and it's not overly crazy, but it, you know, you can think about it, but it's the CZ Scorpion. It's pretty awesome too, but it's really high priced.
Well, what if we take it old school and we go with the Camp 9, the Marlin Camp 9?
Well, the Camp 9, it is technically a 9mm carbine, so.
Yeah, but it costs $1 billion.
You could find a pretty reasonable every now and then you could find a deal on them, but you better be, you know, it's usually at a gun show and you better have the cash money when you see it, because they don't last long. But I've seen them in the $500 range before, and
I've never seen them less than about 8 or 9, honestly.
Yeah, I've seen them in the $500 before, and sadly not have enough money to get them.
So, were they in good shape at that price?
Yeah, they were well loved, but I mean, yeah, they were
9mm carbine. Somebody's gonna shoot that.
Oh yeah, heck yeah. Yeah, Andrew out there, he said he's seen a Camp 9 for $800 on Thursday. Yeah, that's more the
that's about what it is. Yeah,
normal. Yeah, the normal asking price. So, yeah, thanks user for that one. Appreciate it. And going through the chat, looking to see if there's any more questions. I don't see very many, so throw some out there. Let's do this.
Pickle on the Gun Channel side, which is the better side, because we like gun owners.
Well, that's what I was looking at, and I don't see. They're talking about the Glocks. They're talking about
his last one there, old school lever action in 357, 44, or 45.
Okay. I see Calaveras is there. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Lever action carbines. Yeah. We'll switch gears over to that. That's a cool one. Okay. So if you've got a lever action carbine, what's your flavor there? Ghost 357, 44, or 45 long Colt?
No experience in them, but those calibers, my favorite caliber of those would be 357. So I'd probably go with that, but I have no experience with any of them.
Gizzard, what would be your
passion? What's the choices again?
357, 44, or 45 long Colt?
Well, I don't have any experience, but I think I'd rather go with the 45 long Colt.
So you're one of those guys. You're like a traditionalist, maybe.
Old.
Or something.
Old school is the way.
He's seasoned. He's seasoned chicken.
45 long coat is pretty sweet in a rifle. If you haven't shot it, by the way, it is.
It's pretty sweet in the revolver too.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it's better than you would think. I mean, a lot of people, they look at the, you know, whatever, the cowboy action, a lot of cowboy action matches and stuff like that, you got to realize in the reenactment stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it gets a bad rap sometimes, but you got to realize that when you're dealing with stuff like that, a lot of times their stuff has been loaded down. When you're talking about a rifle, you can load it up pretty hot if you want to. Gee, what do you think on that lever action 357, 44, 45 Colt? Did he mute?
Or did he I walked away from that. So, I don't know. All of those, you got a sub-caliber you can shoot with, but I'm going to go with Gary, I think, because 357 didn't exist in the old days. 44, I guess, kind of almost did, but 45 is a traditional caliber for those, and it's big enough to go hunting with, and still, like you say, it's still a fun gun to shoot. It's not abusive or anything.
Right.
It's not gonna hurt the gun. It's not going to blow apart the gun or anything.
Right. Budget, what do you think out of those three?
Well, I have a Marlin 1894 in 44 Magnum, and that thing's a thumper. I love that gun. So that is kind of out of my wooden steel guns. That one's my pride and joy.
What is it again?
Marlin 1894.
Okay.
In 44 Magnum. Love that rifle.
Yeah, I have one too. It's pretty sweet. I thought that's what you had said. Okay, so there's one for 44. Rich,
and on that note, I gotta go. So you guys enjoy.
You wanna plug anything before you split?
I'm going to be doing a show on Sunday at 7. I kind of couldn't do it this evening. If you guys noticed the silence earlier, I had a lot of errands and things that I had to get done today. So Mike needed to sleep sometime before I went into work. So that was when I was sleeping. So it'll be Sunday at 7.
All right. That'll work. Thanks for jumping in.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Rich, what do you pick out of the three there?
I would go 357. I've had my eye on the Marlin Big Boy in 357 for a while. The Henry Big Boy, rather, in 357 for a while now. I just haven't got the funds to get one right now. But eventually, I will get one.
Very awesome. Who's next? Snob's before Scotsman. So, Snob, what do you think?
The only one I haven't experienced with is the 357, and I really liked it. I keep thinking I'll buy one, and I just keep buying something else instead. But they're a little cheaper to shoot, too, with the 38 Special, is a little cheaper than 44 Special or anything. So that'd be my pick.
All right. Scott Smith?
Well, I'm a big board guy, so it's kind of hard to pick and choose. I love the 357. I love the 44 Mag.
Mm-hmm.
The 45 Long Colt is a damn fine cartridge, and there's a lot of good guns out there in 45 Long Colt. But for me, my passion sits and lies with the 44 Mag. I have multiple revolvers in 44 Mag, and I do have the Marlin lever action in 44 Mag.
Yeah, it is a Sophie's choice in a way. I've got a 38 357 and I've got a 44, but my dad has multiples. All of his is in Henry. He's got a multitude of calibers in Henry rifles, but maybe it's because I don't have it, but I lean more toward the 45 Colt myself. You know, the revolvers are super freaking cool, and then to have the rifle that matches, I don't know. Just don't think you can beat it. I don't know what we got out here. Let me scroll through here. Kind of doing a few things at one time, unfortunately, tonight. Check gun channel side. Yeah, I don't really see anything. Now they were talking about the 9mm out there when we were talking about the carbine and the other stuff. And Price Ammo did come up with the lever question. So let's run this one through, I suppose. And the this question is going to be your go-to for buying cheap ammo. Scottman, we'll start on your end.
Unfortunately, that's a trade secret, so I will not disperse that information.
Oh, okay. Well, so apparently it must not be a big box store.
No, it's not a big box store. I buy very little ammunition in stores when I do buy ammunition. And the only ammunition I really buy is carry ammo.
Yeah.
Other than that, I reload everything.
Right. Yeah, and I'm kind of the same way. So, yeah, understandable. Snob, you got a certain place that...
Well, I just...
What am I talking about?
I just drove 4.5 hours to go to Cabela's to buy 300 blackout ammo, but, you know, other than that, no, I usually just buy whatever Academy has.
I hope you didn't.
I really did, but no.
Yeah, wow. It's like, wow. Okay.
No, I really didn't.
Gotcha. I got you. Rich, you got a favorite spot for ammo?
I usually will order from like SGMO, or if not just Shooting Supplies having a sale, I'll order something from them.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. G-Webs, what about you?
Well, initially it's expensive, but then it gets cheaper. So first you got to buy a gun in pretty much every caliber, and then you just take them to the range and don't bother with ammo. And then when you're at the range, just see what other people near you are shooting, and then be like, hey, can I borrow a couple of rounds of what do you got there, 357? And then just put one of your 357s on the table.
I never thought about that. That's a way to get unlimited ammo. It's like, hey, dang, man, I left my ammo at home.
Exactly.
Can I borrow 10 rounds?
And you just wait a little while, you know, have a cigarette or drink a soda or something, and then wait for those people to leave. The next people will come in. Okay, they got a 45, put a 1911 up on your table. Oh, I forgot my ammo. Can I borrow a couple rounds from you?
There you go. Wow.
Damn, that's freaking awesome. That's genius.
That's the way to do it on the cheap right there. That's the winner. We don't even gotta go any further.
That is reloading 101.
Awesome. I think you just gave away Scotsman's secret.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. Gizzard, what about you?
I have better luck with Academy than I do anybody else.
Right. Yeah, as far as big box.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Ghost?
Yeah, probably Academy. I can find Blazer there for $12, $13. So, yeah, I like getting Blazer at Academy because it's a good little round, but you can get it for pretty cheap there.
Right.
I have a quick question on that. Do you all use the Academy brand Monarch ammo at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have.
I have before, not a lot, but I have used it, yeah.
Yeah, I have used it.
I buy the brass a lot there, but the steel case, I bought a few boxes of that, and it was like even my Glock was getting light primer strikes on it quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty hard cup on the primer with the steel case Monarch, for sure.
Yeah, I've fed some of that.
I've seen that with a bunch of different firearms.
I'll feed that through sometimes on when I'm doing an extensive review on a gun, and I'll always use some kind of steel casing or aluminum casing, you know. And I'll usually go to that because, like I said, you can get it for pretty cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. With, I don't know, the problem that you get a lot of times with, you know, trying to go online and order anything, I think, is shipping, unless they've got, you know, some type of free shipping special or something like that. And you got to buy in bulk. Seems like you have to buy in such bulk to get any kind of deal that a lot of times it is cheaper.
I used to use LAX. If I ever did online, I would use LAX because they had run specials every now and then for free shipping or something.
Yeah, right. On the steel case Monarch, I had and it had to do with a lacquer on the case. But and I don't know if they're still lacquered like that or not. I haven't bought any in so long, but bought some of the 308 steel case. And ran it through my FAL, and it got, I wasn't even through a box. I wasn't even through 20 rounds, and it's not like I was, you know, hammering on it as fast as I could pull the trigger. And I didn't get through a box, and I had one that stuck in the chamber on it. And I pogoed that thing. I did everything in the world. Finally took it back to the guy that built it, and not necessarily the guy, yeah, the guy built it, not the guy I bought it from. They're brother-in-laws, but either way, the guy that built it, and anyway, he got it freed up, got it out and everything. And that's what he said. He said it was something to do with the lacquer, apparently, on the case. And, you know, it was a little, I forgot what he said. It was like pliable or something. And because the barrel was warm and all that good kind of stuff, it basically seized it up.
Steel would rust, not brass, so it's, it would rust. So they have to put some sort of a finish on it so that it won't rust, so that you can actually use it, you know. And then your gun heat up, it melts that stuff, and then if you let it sit at all, sometimes it basically is glued in there.
I've shot some of that, or now I've been shooting a lot of that Monarch polymer coated 223. It seems to be pretty good.
So the problem with the store brands, or I see a potential problem with the store brands, especially Monarch. I just happen to know that one from collecting 7.62x39 ammo. They're just a big company, right? They can go to a supplier and say, we're going to need so much ammo that we want you to put our box on it. And they say, okay. So, you know, they're not, they don't own a ammo manufacturing factory. They just go to, you know, manufacturers and say, we're going to buy so much of it, put it in our box with our brand name. So, you know, that what I mean is if they're in a contract with some company for a few years, but then for whatever reason they switch, if you're just going to the store and buying store brand caliber ammo, you don't know if that's coming from a consistent source every year, every couple of years, you know, what kind of cycle that might be on. Mm-hmm. Where if you're buying it from Winchester, it's Winchester. You're buying it from, you know, brand name, it's going to be there as long as they're making that brand.
Right. And Andrew out there, he said he had the same issue I did, but it was with the 223. So, and coffee and guns says the LAX loads them a little bit weak. Yeah, that's kind of what I found too. So now Squib out there is talking about the dollar sign. I've had that happen before where, for whatever reason, it wouldn't let me put a dollar symbol in, and other people were able to put it in. So it's some kind of a weird, I don't know, some kind of a weird flaw or something like that. So I'm not real sure.
Well, if you put the dollar sign in the middle of a bunch of code, then it's not going to accept it.
Is that what it is? It's done it with, I just did it with trying to put a dollar amount out there before. So I don't know. I don't know what he was actually trying to type. So, but yeah,
I have a quick question for everybody.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've had this happen probably twice. Has anyone ever bought a box of ammo, factory obviously, and open it up, start shooting, and they go through and they find one without a primer?
Without a primer?
Without a primer. And if so,
really? I never have, no.
What brand?
I've had them without primers. We've had them without primer holes. So the primer was gone and the primer hole was gone. And then we've had them without even a primer cup. So I've had all.
What brand?
Every brand. I mean, there's no, I mean, that's over my whole lifespan of seeing people open boxes at ranges and stuff. I've seen it all, but it's not like only Remington or something.
Okay. Only ones I've ever had that issue with so far is I've had it happen in two boxes of Winchester.
I was going to say a Winchester white box is what I've had it happen on, but that was, you know, early 2000s when we were having ammo issues because everybody was shooting.
Now I've talked about this a couple of times, but I had a box of Remington UMC 220 grain subsonics for 300 blackout that it was, the projectiles were, I mean, they were like brown. There wasn't no copper to them. They were like oxidized or, you know, whatever, tarnished or whatever you'll call it, bad. I mean, they looked like old Milsurp stuff. The brass wasn't that way, but the projectiles were. And then got to noticing too, as I went through the box, there was three or four rounds in there that I can't remember if the ones that up until then were gold primers and those were silver, or if the ones were silver and those were gold. But anyway, completely different color primers on like three or four different ones in the box. And ironically enough, I guess I don't know if that's irony is what the word you would use, but they were very, very inaccurate. They were the deviation across that box of ammo. I mean, one would go 6 inches left and one would go 3 inches high. And They were pretty bad. So
it was from a store?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought them at Academy, and it was cheap. It's the cheapest box of Subsonic Blackout that they had. Because I just got them for the launch air pop, right? So, and I've shot them before, you know. I was only shooting at 50 yards subsonic at 6-inch plates. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, I can do that. Those will work. And I contacted Remington and, you know, just told them about it, give them all the lot numbers and sent them pictures of the box with the lot numbers and all that stuff and told them what had happened and gave them the link to the video even. And I said, go to the video if you don't believe me, look, you know. And anyway, they got back and said, oh, we're sorry. We stand behind all of our stuff, though, and we'll send you out another box. And they have yet to – they asked for my address. No, they didn't. Yeah, they did. They said they'd send me another box. They asked for my address. I don't know how long ago that's been now. You'll have to look and see whenever that launcher popped. It was in September at some point. So it's been – 3 weeks now or something like that. So I've gotten no ammo, no tracking number, no word from them. So I don't know if they're going to stand behind it or not, but it was only $15 or $16 or something. So not a big deal if they, not a big deal if they don't. There was something along that, there's something along that lines I was going to ask, but I know that Patrick Pew Pew had threw out a question earlier and he was asking, do they make, can you get 7.62x54R with non-corrosive primers? Can you get boxer primed 7.62x54R nowadays? Does anybody know?
So like if Winchester or Remington or somebody made it here in like a brass?
Yeah, basically.
I would assume so, but I've never actually sought it out. Wait.
I've got brass. I've got 7.62x54R brass.
I was going to say, I think I do, but I don't know if it's like just because it's Yugoslavian or something, but I know I do have some spent brass that I kept because it was so cool looking.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got several hundred rounds here that I'd picked up somewhere and it's boxer prime. So, you know, I could reprime it and go about my business. But yeah, I didn't know he was asking. I don't know if there's anything commercially available out there or not. I would think if it was, it seems like I may have seen some Winchester white box at one time in 7.62x54R. I can't guarantee that they do it anymore. And it seems like I've seen some of the, was it the PBRI Partisan?
Yeah, the Squibb's out there, and he says it too, but, and he's right. PPU, yeah, they do both the 7.62x54 and 7.62x39. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking for anything that's going to be like Comblock, PPU probably makes it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of off the wall calibers and stuff too with that. An unknown user out there said he finally got to fire his 45 Super through his 4506. After upgrading, he was surprised at the amount of increased recoil over the 45 ACP. So his follow up shot times were crap. Gonna have to relearn all over again. Yeah, that 45 Super is not messing around for sure. Now, if the 45 ACP is the AARP, then what would be the 45 Super? But I'm curious. That
would be the blue light special.
I guess the early bird special, or the maybe the funeral home special. Even who knows?
You can call it the Undertaker.
If 45 ACP is 45 AARP, what's that make 9mm? Because it's older.
Well, that's not the connotation for that, but yeah.
Whatever the German equivalent of AARP is.
Of the what was it?
The German equivalent of the AARP. They must have something like that over there, right?
I guess so. Got me. Ben's got one. I'd copy this down, Ben's question. It's totally non-gun related, and I'm not entirely sure what he's talking about, but we'll run it through. It's interesting, to say the least. He says, question for the panel. Do you think passenger and cargo airline pilots are underappreciated? They have one of the hardest jobs to do, and I feel they don't get enough respect for it. Ghost?
I know many, 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 many pilots, and I would say that if you ask any pilot, they would say that an air traffic controller is probably the most unrespected position in at least airline stuff and flighting. But I mean, I think they make good money. I think they're appreciated. It's a very stressful job, but I mean, I know a lot of pilots and they've never once felt like they were underappreciated, but they've all said that air traffic control may be the stressful thing in the world.
Right. Giz, you got anything on that?
No, I really don't know a whole lot on that subject.
G-Webs, anything?
Oh, I don't know a whole lot, but I have opinions. So pilots are jerks. They get paid a ton of money. They get all the, I don't know if I can use the language, but
they get all the chicks.
They get all the attention that they might be interested in. And yeah, if they're going to bicker amongst themselves, that's like a bunch of race car drivers going, oh, his race car is a little bit faster than my race car.
There you go. That's a great analogy.
I love it. Rich, you got anything on it?
I think G Webs and Ghost pretty much hit it off the nail on the head at this point. I don't know if anything to add.
Yeah, well, you never know. Snob, what about you?
I don't really have an opinion on that. I try not to fly, so don't really have much of an opinion.
Okay.
We all stand underneath of them, though, so we can have some of
right?
them.
Right? Right? The concern is not just flying on
it. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate they don't crash on me, so that's good.
True.
As long as they're not falling out of the sky, then that's
if they're not crashing into the side of your house, right?
Right. And that has happened. Yeah. I've seen, I don't know how long ago it was. It's been a while ago. But, it does have, even the smaller ones. Ben was talking about cargo and stuff as well. Scotsman, you got an opinion on that?
Actually, knowing an air traffic controller who's worked for me in the past, I would have to agree with Ghost that the air traffic controllers are probably the most unappreciated and probably one of the most hardworking when it comes to that area. I can tell you, based off of what he was telling me, when it comes to trying to hire people, it can take 3 to 6 months just to get one person in the door. And if they're trying to hire people, everyone else is picking up slack.
All right. Yeah, I would echo that too, because I know quite a few pilots, and I've never heard them complain or anything. But, the air traffic controller game, man, there was a movie not long ago about, you remember, anybody watch that? Anybody remember that movie about the air traffic controllers?
No, so, I don't.
I mean, that was apparently an issue enough. They decided to make a movie. I think it was Billy Bob Thornton, maybe, was in it.
I remember that movie. Yeah, I remember. I think we watched a little bit of it, but I remember it was pretty good. I remember Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah,
yeah, and it was about air traffic controllers, I think, if I remember correctly. Anyway, somebody correct me if I'm wrong out there. If you're out there,
I think he was an air traffic controller. I'm not sure the movie's about that or not, but he played a key role, and he was an air traffic controller.
Yeah, it may have been
called Pushing Tin.
Yeah, like Pushing Tin. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Billy Bob Thornton and John Cusack.
Yeah,
that's the one. Yeah.
1999, old guy.
Whew.
Just the other day.
That was just yesterday.
I thought that came out last week.
Clover's a little older than he remembered.
Yeah, apparently so. It did not seem like it was that long ago. So, all right, let's go through the chat here. Let's see if we've got any more questions out there. Got a lot of conversation about the whole pilot thing, that's for sure.
We're just open any topic tonight?
We're just tossing out questions, yeah.
Can I throw a left to right out here?
Absolutely.
All right, so can I just go from my left to my right?
However you want to run it.
So, Clover, you're first on mine. So, what are you drinking right now?
Unfortunately, a Coca-Cola.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Ice or warm or what? How do you drink them?
A cold can out of the refrigerator.
Okay, and then your can just doesn't last long enough to get warm.
Yeah. I just got it first of the show. It's still cool, but I'm almost done with it.
Ghost.
I just had a glass of cold milk.
Uh-huh. Gizzard.
Well, I just finished a can of Pepsi One.
That's a 1-calorie Pepsi or something where they put a little bit of sugar in it?
Yes.
Rich?
I'm a little nervous where this is going with G.
I got an Arizona Arnold Palmer.
Iced tea and lemonade?
Yeah.
Snob? He's not drinking.
I hope not. He's driving, so...
Scotsman.
He could have something in the cup holder. You never know.
I'm polishing off the last of the Two Hearted Ale in honor of Ed USAF.
And then, yeah, when I'm driving, I always like to have something to drink. Usually water, though. I think I found that water, dehydration makes me more tired than needing caffeine or whatever. So I like to drink a lot of water, and I tend to stay awake longer. Right now, I'm just drinking, make a concoction out of instant coffee and nut milk. So it's sort of like a cheap coffee drink. Doesn't cost me much, but just curious. I just thought that would be an interesting thing to throw across the panel.
Now are you doing your cheap coffee? Is that like warm, or you do like a nice coffee thing?
Yeah, sorry, it's like a cold thing. So I just I take instant coffee and make it really, really, really strong so that you wouldn't want to drink it. It would be gross. And then I mix it with almond cashew milk. I get cheap cashew milk and then sort of, kill the weird flavor of the cashew milk. And then that gives it that body. You know, it has the same body, I guess, or whatever that word is. The viscosity is milk. Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't know, just tastes really good and it's cheap.
Right.
$3 or something for a bunch of it.
All right.
I got a question if we're just throwing questions out.
Yeah, go ahead. There's not anything from the chat right now. So
this could be an interesting one. Let's go across the room and say, if you could have one job in the firearm industry, what would it be?
We'll take it across the room.
Okay. Let's start with Scotsman. We'll start with Scotsman. Any job in the firearm industry, what would it be?
Well, it's an interesting question because I've actually had a few different jobs in the industry, and I will tell you one of the best jobs I had and one of the most fun jobs I had was actually in manufacturing. It was very cool to see the process and see the quality control and everything that was going on. So I would have to go with manufacturing.
Right on, Gary.
I'm thinking something involved in the testing. Test firing stuff.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I agree. That'd be a fun one. Rich.
Gary stole my answer. I was going to say test shooter.
Okay. G?
Probably Overlord of 9mm extermination.
Love it.
By force, we would have 45 fairies that every night they would call around with 45s. So people would just wake up with an actual caliber. And then there would also be like some sort of a trade-in where we take Bloomberg money, we tax him heavily, and then we get somebody 380s for every 9mm they turn in at anonymous 9mm amnesty days.
I'm going to say, you actually have thought about this before. Those drives on tour must get really boring. That was a well thought out answer.
I like to think of a future where we don't have calibers, we just have calibers made by Browning, the way it used to be.
Oh, God. Snob.
What was the question? My internet died for a minute.
Oh, yeah. If you could have one job in the firearms industry, what would it be?
That's tough. I want to be the one that gets to test fire new guns.
That's a popular answer.
Oh, I didn't even know somebody had it.
I think Gary and Rich both. I mean, I think everyone would enjoy that. Obviously,
there's a lot of R&D and
I will tell you when I worked for the company that I worked for in the manufacturing part of it, they were saying that the test firing job was the number one sought out position at the company and also the hardest position to get because of so many people trying to get to that position.
I can imagine. Clover, what about you?
Man, that's a good one. I like Guitar Man Pete's answer out there though. He says photographer of the hot chicks for ads.
that's part of it. That is definitely part of it.
You know, given that I could either already have instantly or be educated, probably something in like design concept, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like coming up with the newest ergonomics or, you know, design of a part or tweak this little thing here, or add this little piece or take this little piece away or curve this little piece or whatever it might be.
Right.
That type of thing. And then, you know, I like Wildcat calibers and stuff like that. So, you know, also it would play into that a little bit, I guess. So that would be sort of like R&D, I guess, a little bit.
Would you design a gun around a specific caliber or what?
Yeah, I think probably so. I think probably so. Rather than a design and then modify said design according to whatever caliber, right? Okay, now we got to put a bigger spring or enlarge this piece a little bit or that piece a little bit because we're dealing with a larger caliber. I'd rather build it kind of around the caliber, you know, maximize the effectiveness of that particular caliber.
That'd be kind of fun.
So, now, user out there, and I don't know how many could even answer this one. he said, remember, we got to stay about halfway clean here, but he says, what's the best / worst dad joke you know? And I'm horrible with jokes, so I'll just kind of pass that one out to the room in general. Is anybody good enough with jokes? They have anything?
I've got one that's pretty PG.
Well, that's better than what everybody else has, apparently.
Okay, so how do you catch a polar bear? You cut a hole in the ice, you spread pork and beans all around the hole, and when the polar bear bends over to eat the pork and beans, you kick him in the ice hole.
That's funny. That's funny.
My kids always get quite embarrassed when I tell that joke.
That's funny. Yeah, that's a good one. Always the one joke I always remembered, and my kids got a kick out of it. Of course, I didn't tell it to them necessarily when they were, well, I don't know, I may have told it to them when they were three, but Eddie Murphy said it. Of course, I had to clean it up, right? And it's not a dad joke, but I'm going to say it anyway. But got a bear and a rabbit, and they're taking a dump in the woods, right? And the bear looks down at the rabbit and he says, "Hey," he said, "man," he said, "do you got a problem with poop sticking to your fur?" Rabbit looks at the bear and he goes, "No, not really." So the bear wipes his butt with the rabbit.
I've heard that before. It's funny.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy's version is yeah. It's dirtier, but
yeah, I'd imagine.
But I don't think anything Eddie Murphy's allowed on your show.
But it's hilarious. The kids love poop jokes and fart jokes. You know how that goes. So, you know, if you clean it up, that's a good one. They like that. They get a kick out of it. So, yeah, we're up at the top of the hour again. Looks like let's run this one through the room, plugs, all of that good stuff, and we'll get out here and start kicking off the weekend. Scotsman, what do you got?
Number one, I appreciate the link as always, brother. Always a pleasure to be here. I don't have a whole lot going on, but I'd appreciate if each and every one showed up to Sunday night's Foreign Domestic. It will be a honor to Ed USCF, who passed away Wednesday morning. So it's a dedication chat, and there will be a lot of good people on there that knew him personally. So I'd appreciate everyone joining in for that. That's all I got.
Sweet. That's yeah, that's good stuff. What time is that on Sunday?
9:30 Eastern.
Deal. Snob, what you got?
Not much. I have a live show tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern. That's about it. Thanks for having me, man.
You bet. Rich.
Yeah, got This Week Unloaded Sunday night 8 Eastern over on the Unloaded Media channel.
Awesome. G-Webs, you're back in town, so to speak, right?
Yep.
So, groovy.
Right on.
Thanks for is the Gear website store back open, by the way?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Soon.
Okay. Yeah, I knew you were didn't want to mess with it while you're on your trip, which I understand, but cool. Anything you need to plug or put out there?
No, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, you bet. Gizzard, what you got?
Well, I don't have a whole lot to plug other than check out my website, gizzardgary.com. Become a member of Gun Channels. If you're not already a member, you'll be glad you did. Check out guntube.org. And as always, like, share, and subscribe to CloverTech. Thanks for the invite, sir.
You bet. Ghost.
The weekend's coming up. If you've got a chance and break in the weather and get out there and shoot, take someone with you and be a guiding light in their journey to firearms, especially if they're undecided or new, and turn your camera on while you're at it. And if you really want to get bored, then I shouldn't say bored, because this is a really good one. Not that the other ones weren't, but Sunday, the podcast, Armed Citizen Podcast, will drop in this episode is with Julie Golub. And if you guys aren't familiar with Julie Golub, she's a captain of Team Smith & Wesson, world national champion shooter, NRA board member, and all that. It was a really good podcast. And if you're a patron, I've already put it up on Patreon, so you guys get a couple days head start on it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, Bullseye threw a question out there last minute, and I think we need to run it through the room. It is definitely worthy.
I don't speak Jamaican, man.
Yeah. Jamaican, my head hurt, man. Hush.
Exactly.
Jamaican, my head hurt. Okay. So he says, question, what new gun would you like to see at SHOT Show 2019? Ghost?
Oh, man. That's a really good question. I don't have anything that I'm just really dying to see. Nothing that I've seen that's going to be released at that point yet that I'm just dying to see. I'm just wanting to see all of them.
I'm not sure if his question is just theoretical, like you come up with some crazy, I would like to see the, you know, some kind of.
I mean, I'd like to see a. I thought it'd be fun to shoot, I guess. It would be a fully automatic shotgun or something. That'd be pretty cool. I mean, I don't know.
All right.
I have no idea. I mean, like I said, as far as a concept gun, I don't know. But I don't know. I haven't really heard what's actually coming out yet. So I'm not really excited about anything because I really don't know what's going to be out there yet.
Right. Gizzard, is there anything you've seen or anything comes to mind?
Well, that's just it. In past years, I've always heard rumors, you know, of new stuff coming, but I really haven't heard a lot this year to have anything to look forward to. So I'm kind of drawing a blank here.
Right. G-Webs, anything out there you're aware of?
Well, like Gary said, but I think it's a little early for release type of murmurs or whatever. They usually try to do that almost next year. So it'll be, you know, a while, because they don't want people to start thinking about next year before Black Friday.
Right. That's true. That's true.
But I don't know. I guess something in the 10 millimeter carbine. Everybody wants a pistol carbine. Why not do it in 10 and get it over with?
Yeah, right. Because right now it's just the high point, right?
Well, I don't really know, but I know that it would be
another one. Yeah.
And it would be something to keep people, you know, revved up. You don't just go buy a bunch of mags from, you know, a bunch of, you don't use a bunch of Uzi mags or, you know, Sten mags or AR mags. You'd have to make new mags. So it would kind of boost the industry a little bit. You know, give some people a chance to develop something in a new platform, perhaps something modular, 1022 like or AR like, but, you know, some new platform that everybody can get behind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Now, home of the brace said he'd like to see a Glock compact 10 millimeter. Isn't there already one?
Is it compact or is it just?
If he's saying there isn't, then there's probably not the smallest size 10. Yeah. I think no, there is, though.
There's a smaller one.
There's not
one.
The single stack, but there's still the small double stack, the baby Glock.
Yeah, we got a small 10. So I think there is a 27 size, whatever the 26, 27 is. There's one of those.
Right.
So the 29, is that the?
That sounds about right.
I think it's a 29, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not like, that's not like 42, 43, though. I mean, that's
just. No, it's a double stack.
Yeah.
It's just the smallest frame of the standard Glock.
Right, not. Right.
Right. And I've shot that one, whatever the model is, and I do own the 20, and the 20 handles the 10 very well. It is a very fine pistol. Yeah. That little one is snappy as all get out, man.
I like that little one. I had to sell it, but I owned it for a little while. It's one of these guns that me and my friends will sell back and forth to each other. When somebody needs money, we sell it to each other. Uh-huh. And when I own it, I really like it. I never carry it because I don't like carrying that gun because somebody wants to buy it off of me or I need money, I sell it kind of thing.
Right.
I don't carry it, but I really liked it. And that's the other thing. It was the only platform we had in 10. So I would basically buy partial boxes, some cheap. So I just get partial boxes. If somebody gives me 4 or 5 rounds, that's how we shot it. Mm-hmm. And it shot everything. It eats everything.
Right. Yeah.
But it's so big is what I was getting at. It's the small frame, but it's so fat because it's a 10 millimeter that you're holding on to a lot.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You got big, huge meat hooks too, and I don't. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe you get a better purchase on it or something. I don't know. I didn't like it.
Here's a tip. If you want better grip strength, just take like a stack of $1,000 bills and keep gripping that all day long.
Well, mail that stack to me and I'll work on that.
If I had a stack of $1,000 bills, I can tell you right now, I would have such a death grip on it for fear it would go somewhere. That wouldn't be a problem. Rich,
if I had a stack of $1,000 bills, I wouldn't have it very long.
I probably wouldn't either. Rich, let you jump in on that last question.
I'm just going to go with something that's more of a fantasy kind of thing because, like I said, everybody said nothing has been.
Yeah, there's not a lot really that's.
Maybe like a Smith & Wesson to do an X frame in maybe like 357 or 44, where even in 44 we get maybe 7 or 8 rounds, kind of like how they did with end frame with the 357, where you get the 8 rounds in the 627, maybe do something like that.
Oh, okay.
The 44 using the X frame.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to go that, then I'd say I'd like to shoot a Glock carbine.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Got to wait till Gaston kicks.
I know, but you know, one day I'm convinced I'll get to shoot one.
That's in a drawer somewhere. I can assure you.
I guarantee it.
Snob.
I'd like to see a sub $400 range 10 millimeter pistol.
Okay. Like
maybe if Taurus came out with one or something. Just to
that's play what I was supposed to say. Maybe.
See, I'm surprised they haven't come out with one yet. Honestly,
I am too. Now that Ruger's doing it and everything, yeah. Yeah, totally. Scotsman, what about you?
I'm going to go old school. I would love to see the re-release of the 44 Auto Mag.
Ooh, there you go.
They do that. XL Arms makes it.
Oh, yeah?
They make 5 versions of it, the original, like, real version, and then they've souped it up for hunting and competition. They make an aluminum 1022 chassis also.
Right. I think couple things, actually. You know, we were talking about carbines and stuff earlier. So, you know, I'm thinking along the lines of the, you know, the Camp 9 and then the, you know, you got the 45 carbine, and then I've got a old school, in fact, I think we used it the last launch air pop for the, but the 44 mag, you know, Ruger carbine. Now that the 9 carbine with Ruger is out, you know, them to start maybe branching out into some other calibers with that, I think could be cool.
Yeah, they'll probably go 45, I'd imagine, don't you think?
Yeah, it'd be cool to see maybe a 45 or, you know, eventually a 44, you know, in that, I think would be kind of neat. I mean, they've done a 44 before. Why not? And then I want to say when Walther was on, we don't know what yet, of course, but I think they had some big things coming. So it's going to be exciting to see maybe what they push out as well. So with that, took us a while to get through that one, but that's okay. We're going to get out of here. Let me drop the link for clovertac.com simply because that's a place where you can find all the different platforms we're on and all the different content and all of that good kind of stuff. Affiliate links, swag store, you name it, it's all there. Still working on the site a little bit, moving some things around, trying to make it look a little prettier, be a little more functional, that sort of thing. So bear with me on that. And with that, we're going to get out of here for the week. So enjoy your weekend. Spend time with friends, family. Give those kiddos a hug. Tell them you love them. Get out to the range if you have a chance. Have fun. Above all, be safe. And we'll catch you next week. Bye.